Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are back in our second week of chapter 12 of the Book of Acts from Tara Rye's study, Tell It Well. And last week, she storied chapter 12 so well, and we both decided that if you are out there and you can make a movie, this would be a great one to get a script.
A good script to do it on. Yes. And we were also discussing, like, because this whole chapter is about incredible amount of persecution. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's the fifth wave of persecution at this point. And not only is it the fifth wave of persecution, to give you an idea of timeline, the Zondervan NIV Bible Study Bible states that it's about 10 years from the time of Jesus' ascension. So that gives you an idea. It's not, oh, things are just happening consecutively, boom, 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 boom. This is 10 years since Christ's ascension has passed, okay? To give you an idea of the timeline of the process of things happening. That really
isn't that crazy
you.
That people saw Jesus raised from the dead in the clouds, and they're still trying to kill people.
Yeah.
That are preaching Jesus.
It's crazy.
But most of them saw it.
Yes. Yes. They were witnesses. They were eyewitnesses.
Oh, that boggles my mind.
It is.
I didn't know that. It was 10 years.
I think that's the reason why scripture says, you know, blessed is the one who believes who has not seen.
Mm.
You know? And, you know, because there is, it's amazing that they didn't, but they didn't. And the reason is because they were blinded by their own flesh. Okay, now, why would I say that? If we are presented with a truth, truth is truth.
Right.
Nobody can deny a truth. You know, 2 + 2 = 4, period. Truth is truth, regardless of what the truth is about. Truth is undeniable. If somebody is looking at that which is truth and they're not willing to see it, it is because they are blinded by their own flesh. There is something that they want, that they are having in place that they want that's more important.
Hmm.
I mean, that is what it all comes down to.
I know, but Tara, seeing Jesus in the sky, your flesh can overtake that as real?
Yeah.
I can see today how people, you know, they doubt and they doubt and they doubt because of the Christians and whatever, hypocrisy, la, 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 la. But to see it, face to face, I can imagine denying that.
Well, two criminals were on the cross. One believed and one didn't. Even on dying on the cross, one of them allowed the flesh of his own wants to blind him from seeing, which was plain before
him. Free will,
man.
Oh,
God loves us that much that he's willing.
I know.
That's
sorry, that was just like an aha moment for me because I didn't know the 10-year span. And I just am shocked. I'm shocked.
Yeah. And if you take today's passage, and going back just to sum up what we discussed last week, persecution started. Herod killed James, put Peter in prison, intended to kill Peter. Peter was released miraculously by an angel, realizes God did it to reveal that he was not going to let happen what the Jews wanted to do to him, went back, tells the believers that are praying, and then he goes to a safe place. Herod has a group that wants to talk with him. He ends up dressing in his royal robes, and instead of deflecting the praise that comes after him when people say that he must be a god, he received it, and he was smote by God and died. Okay, that's a summation, like a minute of what we discussed last week. Herod was blinded by his own flesh to keep from seeing what he had seen.
And killed by his flesh.
Right. Because he liked the praise of man.
That's a really good reflection question. Do you like the praise of man more than your praise for God?
That's tough. If you think of how easily it would be to let that get messed up.
It's happened in my life.
Right now, I'm thinking much about appearances because I have a youngin' growing up that's quite beautiful. And I am reminded of when I was a young woman, how much the praise of man would come at a young person. And how a young person can allow that praise to become the identifier to the point that you end up desiring that praise more than what's truth. And it can greatly misapply a person's identity. It can really mess with a person's identity. So I've been thinking a lot about that because, you know, I have a 15-year-old that she's just gorgeous.
She is. And inside and out.
That's, I keep going back to and saying out loud, you are more beautiful on the inside. And that is what makes a difference. That is what changes
things.
That's
right, because in Proverbs 31, not one time did they mention the outside of a woman.
Yeah.
It's inside, but in our world, it's so opposite.
It is all outward. And there are so many ways that we can be so focused on the outward. We can do it with our homes. We can do it with our cars. We can do it with our job. We can do it with our ministry. We can do it with how big's your Bible. I mean, there's so many things that we can, how big's your school? How, I mean, your team winning. I mean, there's, you just name it, the things that we can do that where we will look for the praise of man and put that as more important than our praise for God, when our focus should be on that which is character and peace. Earlier, I was sharing with Sabrina that in my life I have had in the last few weeks quite a bit of stress, just life in general, family. I'm starting to reach that sandwich generation. Seminary, third year, it's kicked up. It's kind of intense. Just a lot of things going on. We have a foreign exchange student coming. I mean, just there's a lot going on. My daughter's learning how to drive.
I think people are saying, okay, that's okay, enough.
Yeah. Well, it just a lot of stress. And I ended up blowing up on my daughter. My blowing up was not in proportion to what she did. I mean, she just got flippant with her mouth and told her brother to shut up. But I lost it. I will confess the sin. I lost it. And afterwards, I thought, God, where did that come from? Why did I so react in the way that I did? And I know it was because I had forgotten I had the peace of God inside me. Anytime we portray an unpeaceful spirit, it is because we have forgotten we have peace. Peace resides inside us. And today's passage is a beautiful example of what it looks like when peace resides. Peter knew that they had put James's head on the butcher block. Peter knew James was gone. Peter knew his comrade, his brother, that he had walked with Jesus and felt the dust of his feet kick up and their faces together, and what it was like to have the sun belting on them as Jesus sat on the mount telling them, blessed are the poor in spirit. He knew that, and he knew that Herod was bent on taking him. And yet scripture tells us that when all of this was happening and on the night before he was to go to trial, Peter wasn't sitting up anxious. He wasn't worried. He wasn't told, we aren't told he's giving this incredible prayer. Peter sleeps. And the word literally means sleeps like a baby. And I believe there's two reasons that happened. One reason is that he knew he had the Prince of Peace inside him. And that in order for peace to be displayed from him in such an evident way, he had to have trust in that peace inside him. That peace is something that I have to make the choice.
That's right.
To rest in that peace. He's there. It's just making that choice to say, you're here. I trust you. You are in control. It does not matter what Herod is bent on doing. It does not matter that the Jews are celebrating that he killed my brother James. It does not matter that they intend to do the same to me. You are in control. And I believe in you. And so I trust you. So he slept. Peace. I believe the second reason he slept so beautifully was because there was a group of believers that loved him so much and loved God so much that they gathered and they prayed. And the description of them in the home, in my mind, I wrote out, I think it was three words that I had for this in the Bible study. I felt their urgency. I felt their fervency, and I felt their passion. They prayed. Mm-hmm. They were focused. They were so focused that when shit came, they were like, oh, we're praying, you know. No, you're hearing, you know. But they were serious about what they were praying. On the flip side, you know, I don't know that they were expecting an answer so quickly. But they prayed, and that peace came to him. And I think that's the reason why he was able to sleep. It's huge. It's huge. So we have to.
The importance of having people praying for you.
It's extremely important.
When you're going through a hard time.
Yeah. And so I sent Sabrina and two other friends. I'm like, y'all pray for me, because I could tell that my peace wasn't where it was supposed to be. And so I confessed my sin, and then I asked some sisters to pray alongside me so that I could press forward with a peaceful spirit, mm-hmm. and regardless of what's going on around you.
Absolutely. And I think it's beautiful for being just a transparency. You know, it happens. And here we see Herod, obviously. He's not a believer. But that pride can happen to a believer as well. You know, I just had the same situation. I had a situation just this week that I was doing worship, and then they asked me not to, and it tore me up inside. Oh. But I went to the person and I said, look, it hurt my feelings that you didn't ask me to do it again. But then I also asked God, why did my feelings get hurt? Is it because I wanted the praise of people to say, oh, you do, you know? So I think as a person, we always have to say in every situation, what, God, what do you want me to learn from this? Mm. And to also go to that person who maybe hurt your feelings and say, you know, the way you said it was hurtful. Mm. And then that peace comes because I'm not going to hold a grudge,
right?
And I'm not going to go down that road of, oh, they don't think I'm good enough. Right. You just go right to that person and ask and say, look, this hurt my feelings. And like the floodgates opened, hmm. and the peace and everything was just like, okay, the enemy had no terror. He had no control or any room in that, in that relationship to ruin it is what he wanted to do, but wasn't going to go there.
You know, Sabrina, what I love about that is that you just gave us an example from Matthew 18 where it tells us that, you know, if you have an issue, you go straight to your brother, mm-hmm. or sister. You don't wait and you don't go to others. You go straight to them, and right. you handled it in a very biblical way. If you had not, that would have been placing the act of worship, which is intended to worship the Father,
right,
in a greater position than actually the worship. And who would to say that the reason why you weren't to do it is because God had somewhere else that you were called to go.
Right.
You know, I mean, we forget
human.
Those. I'm so with you. I'm with you, girlfriend. You know I'm with you. You know I'm there.
You're like, oh, I had to share that because I know that there are people listening that struggle because we all want to be told that we do a good job.
Yeah.
But it can't take the place of our offering to the Lord.
No.
And I learned, and I was stretched, and I grew, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. I know now where my heart is, and I need some working on in this area.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I love how God works.
He always gives us opportunities.
He does. He does. And you know what? This is where I want us to take it, because it fits in with what Sabrina was saying. It fits in with what I was saying. Is that there is a purpose behind a steadfastness and a purposefulness, intentionalness. I mean, I could give you a lot of nisses on this one, of why we need to give it to God.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. As I was going through and I jotted down a few things that I thought about when I was reading through this passage, and I wrote, you know, essentially what it comes down to is that God answers.
Amen.
They sought him and God answered. Now, I want us to look at how did God answer the prayers. Here he is in prison. They knew James was killed. They knew Herod is not afraid to do it. In fact, he liked the glory it brought him amongst the Jews and the Roman officials. It actually elevated Herod's personal feelings about mm-hmm. himself. He just respected the tradition of man, so that he wouldn't have the fringe Jews after him if he did something during the Passover. Okay? I mean, it was more of a, I don't know, a token, you know, of waiting. Mm. And in a way, it was almost as if it was kind of like how a tiger might play with its kill. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
I've got you caged. Let's just bat you around a bit,
right.
kind of mentality. God answers. The other thing that I think about as I'm thinking of Peter and the believers that were praying is that it was very God-honoring how it was handled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very quietly they gathered as a group and they just prayed. I mean, it was just very God-honoring. And asking ourselves when we're in the circumstances, how can I glorify God in this situation? How can I bring honor to God? You know, would Peter bring honor to God before those soldiers if he was fretting and pacing the prison floor? Or if he was begging the soldiers to give him information on King Herod? Not nearly as likely to have an impact as the soldiers watching him sleep like a baby. I mean, those guys were executed.
I know.
They were killed. Kind of makes you wonder, did they ponder the peace upon Peter before?
Absolutely.
What were they thinking in those last moments? I would love to think in my mind is like, I'm so for everybody. But God, in those last moments, I know that they were thinking about that peace and saying, Lord, I want it. And just gave the open door and said, yes, you know, before they were executed.
Well, there's nothing more beautiful than seeing somebody that has been through it and seeing them like, why aren't you wrecked? Like, I would be wrecked right now.
Yeah.
And you are just keeping it calm. I mean, there's a lady at our church, her son died. And she's like, this is, God has a plan. And I'm like, whoa.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, that is so from God to have a teenage son killed and to know that there's a bigger purpose. And probably about 12 or 13 kids got saved because of it. But at that moment, she was like, I believe God, you know.
And she gets to hold on to those 13 spiritual siblings, children.
And I looked at her saying, wow.
Yeah.
So I know those Roman soldiers were saved.
Sabrina's got me in tears over here crying for this mom.
I know.
The other thing is that it's glory giving.
Yes.
It's glory giving. Peter did not take it in for himself, and the disciples were not taking it in for themselves. They were out to give God glory, and they wanted God's will. And as we do, seeking God, being God-honoring, giving God glory, what ends up happening is it is character revealing. What's inside is made known, and it is evident, and all can see. That is where life change happens. And as that happens, it opens the door for us to go and tell. It's more, people see that and they want a part of it. And they're like, give it to me. Let me join you.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to come back and talk with us next week on Cultivating Hearts, because we have more stuff that we want to talk to you about. We're going to look at what the angel actually says to Peter and how these principles can be used in our lives today. God bless.